Now tonight, I want to just carry on where I left off last week. And if you have your Bibles with you and want to follow through with us, we're in the book of Romans chapter 4. If you recall and remember, we were talking about having an unwavering, confident faith in God. And we were looking in the first part of the evening last week, we were looking at this a scripture we found in the book of Hebrews, which said that we need to beware lest there be found in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. You know, we looked at God's people coming up out of Egypt, and that their refusal to enter into the promised land was a result of their unbelief. And that unbelief cost them the blessing. It cost them the rest that God had promised to bring them into. And we started saying that confidence is the expectation of what we believe. Our confidence in God is the expectation of what we believe. You know, when we expect God to do something for us, you know, we have confidence in Him. You know, we started to look at Abraham, which is where we pick up in Romans chapter 4. Because it says in verse 21, it says that he was fully convinced. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform and bring about. Now, I'll just recap on what we were looking at last week. But Abraham received a promise from God that he would be the father of many nations. And that promise meant that he and Sarah had to have a child. And this child had to be a certain child. It's the one that God had promised. Now we know from the scriptures, and we know from what we believe, that this was Isaac, God's promised son to Abraham. You know, and the promise was this, that he would be the father of many nations. Now we read in a few verses earlier, in verse 17, where God, or Paul, is recounting to the church in Rome, the Christians that gathered in this Italian city, and he says, look, he reminds them that what the scripture said, what God promised to Abraham, he said, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And he says, this was made in the presence of him whom he believed. Talking about God. This promise was made by God. It was in the presence, of God. And God declared this, and every being, every created being, every angelic being in heaven heard these words. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, it goes on to talk about one of the attributes of God. It says that he gives life to the dead. And I just want you to remember that phrase for a little bit later on as we develop. God gives life to the dead. And he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You know, God, when it appears that something does not exist, God speaks of it as though it does. Why? Because in the foreknowledge of God, it's already done and it's past. And so Abraham He had to get in line with God, and he had to start speaking the same way that God spoke, because he was messing up the promise. When God called him and said, I've made you a father of many nations, he tried to do it his own way. They came up with this plan that if Abraham, Abram, and Sarai's handmaid, her servant, if Abram went with her, they could produce a child, and that's what they did, and they worked this plan out, and this plan wasn't of God. You know, we cannot help God, or we shouldn't help God out. If God has promised us something, we should just let him do what he says he's going to do. But because we are human and we don't always understand the timing of God, we don't understand the fullness of what God is saying when he gives us a promise, we try and engineer things and we work things out. And we say, well, if I do this and I go this way, then that's obviously the way God will bless us. We're all like that from time to time. You know, we hear God speaking and we say, well, how can I get God to fulfill his word? If I do this, I go this. And Abraham was no different. He did the same. So God had to intervene. And God stepped in, as you know in the story of Abraham, that God changed his name. He says, okay, Abraham, he says, you're messing this up. You're not doing it in the way I want you to do it. Now he says, I'm going to change your name. And in changing his name, he was bringing Abraham in line with the word of God. Why? Because the name Abraham means a father of many nations. So every time somebody said to Abraham, what's your name? He says, my name is Abraham, or my name is father of many nations. He started calling himself the father of many nations. You know, and as we've seen in previous studies, and we've seen as we've been going through some of the parables in the New Testament, that there is great power in the words that we speak. You know, especially when it's God's word on our lips. There's great power. Now, as I said last week, you know, this is not, a lot of people have said, well, this is positive thinking. No, this is not positive thinking. Some people have also said this is having that mind over matter, or that positive mental attitude, where you can change it. No, this is not what this is saying. When it says that we call those things which do not exist as though they did, this is not positive energy. This is not mind over matter. This is not any man-made philosophy. This is not, neither is this what has been termed. And now, I believe a certain way, but there are those that proclaim a message whereby if you just name something, you can have it. And it's not that either. When we speak and we call those things which do not exist, as though, we have to line ourselves up with what God is saying. All we're doing is agreeing with God's word and confessing it by faith. It's how we got saved. It's how we were born again. Because the scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Believe what? You believe the word of God and you put the word of God in your mouth. You will be saved. Now, a few weeks ago we were looking at seeds. And we saw that seeds need to be planted. And as we've seen in one of the parables as well recently, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And seeds need to be planted, and we plant seeds by giving them a voice, by speaking them. Now that's what God did. He spoke, let there be light. He planted a seed, a word seed, and the Holy Spirit took that seed and brought it to life. And light came. Now this was, I don't believe this was a long time period. I believe this was almost an instantaneous, as God said it, it happened. You know, the Holy Spirit went to work. We speak what God says, not what we feel or think. And if we speak what God said, then we will get the result that God intends. If we speak what we think, we will get a distorted result. If we speak what man says, we will get a distorted result. If we speak what God says, then we will get the right result. Now, in the foreknowledge of God, what he has already promised, or what he has promised, is already done. Even if we can't yet see the physical manifestation of it. And this was the case for Abraham. God had promised him that he would be the father of many nations. And although he didn't even have a child at the time, as far as God was concerned, it was done. And Abraham could have rested in that promise, knowing that it was done. But as I said, he tried to bring a physical manifestation of God's promise himself. But after that, after God reprimanded him, after God changed his name and got him back online and brought him in line with his thinking, Abraham began to move in the realm of faith. Because it goes on, it says in verse 18, that when it was contrary to hope, when there was nothing physical that could procure hope in the man. It says, in hope, believed. You know, when the circumstances were physically against him, he still believed. When everything was contrary to the word of God, Abraham hung fast to what God said. He still believed. And today, there are things going on that are contrary to the word of God. And when we look around, we can say, well, look, we've got to go away from the... No, we haven't got to go away from the word of God. Just because a government or a church group or something else or friends will tell us that we've got to deviate from this. No. If God says it, we should hang on to it like Abraham did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became, there's the result, when he hung on to hope, believing, he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. We get a little insight into the nature, the character here of Abraham's faith. It says in verse 19, it says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look at Sarah, he didn't look at his own body, because that would have distracted him from what God said. Now, we said last week that it didn't matter whether Sarah was the age she was, or whether she was a teenage girl. She still couldn't have children, she was barren. You know, so when God spoke and said that he would be the father of many nations, he had to trust God. He didn't waver, verse 20 says, at the promise of God through unbelief, like the children of God did when they came up out of Egypt. They wavered at the promise through unbelief. They didn't know whether to go with Caleb and Joshua or to go with the other 10 spies. And in the end, they chose the majority, went with the other 10 spies, and lost out on the promised blessing. But Abraham didn't waver. He didn't stagger. That's what this word waver means. To stagger, to oppose, to dispute or contend, to doubt or hesitate. There's a few meanings there for this word waver. James tells us that we should, if we ask God in faith, now this was talking about wisdom, but it goes with anything we ask God of. If we're asking God for guidance, if we're asking God for a healing touch, if we're asking God for needs that we have, we still have to come the same way. We ask God in faith, without doubting, without wavering. Because the man who doubts, James says, is like a wave of the sea, which is driven and tossed by the wind. And actually, James finishes his quotation in James 1, verse 8. He says this, that a double-minded man, a man who is of two minds, who's doubting, is unstable, rocking backwards and forwards. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now we're back to verse 21 where we started. Abraham says he was fully convinced, fully persuaded that what God had promised, God would do. He would fulfill his word. He was absolutely certain that God would honor his promise. Now that gave him confidence. Now Abraham and Sarah did receive God's promise. We know this. They had Isaac. And that didn't happen straight away. You know, God didn't speak to Abraham. God didn't change his name. God didn't, he didn't line up one day and the next day, whoa, Isaac was there. It took time. Sarah had to go through the process of pregnancy. She carried Isaac in the womb the full term. They had to stand in faith and rest in what God had promised he was also able to perform. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. We have a scripture here which the writer to the Hebrews, I like to think he's thinking about Abraham when he's writing this, but he may have other things on his mind. Because he's talking about having boldness to come into the holiest place by the blood of Jesus. He says that we've got a high priest over the house of God, and we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And then he goes on in verse 20, that he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without doubting, without being double-minded, because he who promised is faithful. We can seize and hold fast and retain without any wavering, without any contending, without any hesitation, the promise of God, because God who gave the promise is reliable. He's sure. He's faithful to his word. Now Abraham's rest in God didn't end once Isaac was born. That was not the end of his faith. Now we mentioned again a few weeks ago that a few years later Abraham was called by God to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Now I want us just to look at the few verses in Genesis 22, because we're just going to see how Abraham's unwavering, confident faith was still at work. He didn't hang up his faith once he'd received the promise. So in Genesis 22, verse 1, it says this. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verse 3. So Abraham got on his knees. He pleaded and begged with God that this was not to be the case. Does that say that in your Bible? No, it says this. It says, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled the donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told. There was no contending with God. God, you've made a mistake here. God, don't you remember what you promised me a few years ago? Are you really sure that's what you want me to do? No, there was none of that. He just said, he heard the voice of God, he heard God speak to him. Take Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering. And so Abraham said, okay. And we see he prepares. On the third day, in verse 4, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place where he was to go. He saw it in the distance. And he said to his young men, he says, now I want you to stay here with the donkey. Stay here with the provisions. Stay here with the goods. And look at these next words in verse 5. He says, the lad, talking about Isaac, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. That's a strange statement for Abraham to make, because he's going there with a purpose to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Why would he say to his servants, he says, stay here, he says, and then we, only two of them went, then we will come back to you. Is this, well, Abraham, it was just a figure of speech. Was it? Was this the what we English people or British people, we refer to as the royal we, meaning me, I'm coming back. No, this was not the royal we. This was not just a figure of speech. Okay, well, maybe deep down in his heart, he said that because he wasn't prepared to go through with the task. Wasn't that either. Somebody once suggested that he said this because Isaac was listening and he didn't want to cause the boy any concern or harm. Prevent him from being afraid. No, that wasn't the reason. You know, these words, we will come back to you, are not just idle words. These are faith words spoken by a man of faith, a man who was confident in his faith. A man who had an unwavering, confident faith. And actually, the writer to the Hebrews clearly shows us why Abraham said these words. And we know the story of what happened. They went up the mountain. Isaac turned to Abraham and says, Father, he says, I've got a question I want to ask you. He says, I'm a little confused here. He says, because we've got the wood and we've got the fire. He says, look, we haven't got a lamb. We haven't got anything to offer. And then Abraham looks him in the eye and he says, son, he says, God will provide for himself the lamb. Now that's what was on Abraham's mind. That God would provide the sacrifice. Now come with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The great faith chapter. Abraham gets a mention in this chapter. He gets a good chunk of the chapter, does Abraham. And we're going to go to verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He offered him up. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That was a key promise to Abraham. In Isaac your seed shall be called. Now it wasn't in Ishmael. You know, somebody might have thought, well, that's okay if Isaac was offered up because he still had Ishmael. He still had another son. No, Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the one through whom the promise of God would come. The seed was through Isaac. And Abraham knew that it was through Isaac. And it wasn't even that God, if he offered up Isaac, then God would give him another Isaac. No. There's no plan B. Isaac was the promised son. So Abraham concluded, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Remember that we read that God gives life to the dead. and cause those things that be not as though they were. That God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now Abraham was prepared, he was fully prepared to offer up Isaac, because he was absolutely confident and he was totally convinced and fully persuaded that Isaac was the fulfillment of God's promise. It wasn't in Ishmael, it wasn't in any other son. And that if Isaac was killed, God would raise him to life in a moment. Now if Abraham did, now I know these are all ifs and buts, but this didn't happen because God stepped in and intervened and provided the land. But had Abraham put the knife in Isaac, God would have raised Isaac to life, because he was the promise. Now that confidence that Abraham had, he wasn't moved or shaken by the circumstance. We don't see him arguing with God on his way up the mountain. It doesn't matter what conditions we go through. It doesn't matter what setbacks we face. There is no worry or fear attached to a confident man. And we know that's rest. When we can have confidence that whatever comes against us, whatever storms beat on our little boat, we have confidence that we will not drown. We're resting. You remember a few weeks ago we were looking at that scripture where Jesus and his disciples were going across the lake. You know, and this was the greatest storm that these disciples had experienced. Experienced seamen, experienced fishermen. At least four of these men spent every night on the lake. They knew what these storms were. And yet, this particular day, when they crossed over, the waves beat on that boat, knocked it sideways, filling it with water. Jesus asleep and resting in the boat. Why? Jesus was confident. There was a work to do. Now, Jesus wasn't going to be killed by a storm. He wasn't going to die in a storm. He wasn't going to drown at sea. Why? Because there was a mission he had to fulfill. The only way Jesus was going to die was on the cross. They tried to stone him. And he passed through the crowd. You read that. They were going to throw him off the cliff at Nazareth, over the edge. And he just went straight, he passed through them. Many times the chief priests were geared up and they were to arrest him and take him. But they couldn't lay hold of him. They couldn't touch him. Why? Because there was only one way Jesus would die. And that gave him confidence. But he was resting through this storm. Now, Abraham rested through the storm. He rested. Didn't matter what the circumstance was, what setbacks he faced. He rested. And we can learn to rest, having that confidence. Unwavering faith in God. Now, next time, God willing, we're going to again develop that a little bit further and talk about the confession of our hope, the confession of our faith. So for now, we'll leave it there. Amen.
This morning and tonight.